Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Just Keep Writing,
a podcast for writers by writers to keep you writing.
I'm Marshall.
And I'm Nick.
All right, man, top of the show. What do we have? Announcements, upcoming conferences. What are we talking about this week? We have some developments and I'm sad.
I'm very sad too. I mean, okay, we've had some good stuff coming up. We don't have anything immediate going on other than I'll be at Futurescapes. And I know a couple of Writing Excuses alumni will be out there with me. And I have a special show and interview coming from out of that, possibly three. So
nice.
But I've actually reached out to
you. Are you going
to
name drop any of them?
I am actually. And this is going to be for a future episode, so I'm not sure when we're going to hear about this one, but I reached out to you, an agent friend of ours, or associate, however you want to say that, but Dong Wan Song, is going to be at Futurescapes as a instructor, and reach out to him and he's more than happy to jump on an interview with us. So that's going to be
exciting. I can't wait, man. And what are the dates of Futurescapes again?
It's the 11th through the 14th of April.
11th through the 14th. Okay.
Right. And the way they have set up is a little bit different. So there's side classes you can take. They're $90 a piece. They still have some chairs open. So if you're out in the Utah area around that time and want to go ahead and do that. You can come hang out with me. The actual workshop itself is only 8 hours over the 12th through the 14th. So there's not a lot of time, but a ton of writing time. So that's going to be helpful.
I like the timing of that though, too. I'm actually coming back from my trip on the 12th. So I'm not sure when you're going to talk to Dong Wong, but I'd love to get in there and do that. So let's try to set that up for the weekend. That'd be great.
Well, I'm hoping you can jump on with me on that one. So, because if all works out, we will also have a couple other writers out there who are pretty big named and people we might have mentioned before on this podcast. So
that sounds amazing.
I'm just waiting on the official yes from them before I can even say anything.
No, of course. And I'm excited, man. I love that man. I love talking to him. And he is one of those people you just want to pick his brain as long as you have him for.
Oh, man. Dong Wan Song is hands down. He probably gave the best class that we had overall because it was a 3-day period.
Yeah.
And ironically, I just found all my notes on that recently. So I'm going to be reviewing those again. But I kind of want to, obviously, plan it out, but my hope is to kind of go over the business of writing and stuff like that. And what can at-home writers do who still have a day job to market themselves, and what type of publications will help them be noticed by an agent?
Yeah. And I think that's super important, man. My notes were extensive for those because it was like, all right, he's the only agent on board giving us lectures and I have to show up regardless how tired I am, because they were all at the crack of dawn. And I had to show up and take notes and be awake. Well, it's hard when you're up till 3 a.m. and you're like, oh, wait, I have to get up in 4 hours to get to this lecture.
For the record, I was not on time for any of them.
No, I was there.
Except for one, and I don't think I slept that night.
Oh,
because I knew during the day I was going to be able to take a nap.
Right.
I even went to breakfast for once. That's great.
Well, I skipped breakfast, and I don't want to say I may or may not have had the hair of the dog a couple mornings because I was just like, I guess got to keep going. So anyway, all right, man. So that's awesome, and I'm really looking forward to Futurescapes, and I think the timing actually will work. Unfortunately, segue, the timing does not work for another thing coming up. You like how I did that?
I do.
I know we announced last week that I was going to MoCon. And I am disappointed to say that I will not be able to make MoCon next year, but next year I am going to make sure there's no conflicts. And the conflict is, it's a huge fundraiser that happens every year for my golf team. And I run this event and it's a big golf tournament. And I, as the head coach, really can't not be there. And
you tried.
And I tried to not be there. I really tried to not be there. When I realized it was the conflict, and I thought it was the weekend before, and that's on me. So I'm disappointed. I booked everything. Thankfully, hopefully I'll get my money back for the flight. I will tune in whenever I can and help Nick with his interviews for MoCon, and I'll be there in spirit, my friend.
Oh, it's going to still be a great time. But this is just kind of a testament of why we're doing this podcast. Like, yeah. we both still have day jobs. We both still have things that interfere with writing and progressing our writing careers and talents. So if anything, it just kind of speaks volumes on this is why we're doing it. So we can make our mistakes and you guys can learn from them.
Right. Check your schedule, check your calendar, and then double check the things that aren't in your calendar. That's what I've learned. If that's even a thing at all.
It's got to be now.
It has to be now. I have no choice. So that said, any other conferences, anything else we need to talk about that's coming up? San Diego Comic-Con, of course, we're working on that. And we do encourage anybody in the Southern California area to come and hang out with us in any capacity. We will be doing all we can to reach out to anybody who's down there. And if you reach out to us, that's even easier. But we do know some, I know some people down there, and I'm starting to work on that. So that'd be fun.
As soon as we kind of have a place booked out and we know where we're going to be staying, we're going to let everyone know, though, too, because Marshall has some press passes, so he'll be gone for some of the time. And I'm actually hoping to have a little writing group while we're down there just to get together. We're hoping to get a beachfront area. So come hang out in San Diego. Enjoy Comic-Con and then just have a nice night out by the ocean and do some writing with us.
Yeah, and with Nick on the journey, I would love to do some writing stuff as well. And it would be really nice to get a group together at least one night and just have that be our focus. So we're going to start working on that. But you guys got to reach out to us and let us know if you're going to be in the area during the craziest time down in San Diego. But it's a ton of fun, and we do a lot of things. Like I said, I put on an event down there, and anybody who reaches out is welcome to come to that event. And basically, we just drink beers, we do a podcast, and we talk about geek stuff and anything that comes to mind. So it's a ton of fun. One more shout out. Thank you to everybody, of course, who's joined our Discord. That's been a ton of fun. And
it's really grown.
Yeah, and it is growing fast, which is awesome. Nick, can you tell us, please, what some of the channels that have grown, things that people have been talking about? So let's entice some folks to join us.
So as of right now, we have our basic channels, like our general channel. We have, you know, a shout out for beta readers and stuff like that. We do have a channel for the writer staff. So every week, if you're struggling with something or want to talk about it, we have a channel for that. We have a channel for our monthly challenges as well. What I like is the conferences and conventions and meetups. Because if you're in an area and you're by yourself and you just want to meet up with someone or even get an online meetup, that's the place to do it. Talk about conferences that are coming up, which we did miss Emerald City Comic Con. A little disappointed in that one. Shout out to Josh Story on that one for keeping us updated. Apparently it was such a great time and he absolutely loved it. And so hopefully we can join you next year. If not, the year after that.
Well, that should be an event we should be able to at least apply for press passes, whether we get them or not. Either way, the way these Comic Cons work, and you know, I know the Comic Con circuit fairly well, you know, as long as you have a media outlet and have been active for a certain amount of time, you can apply for press passes. So that means you don't pay for badges. So you can get into the convention center and all that kind of stuff. But going back to the San Diego thing really quick, a lot of stuff happens outside the convention center. I'm not sure about Emerald City, but I know there's a lot going on outside there and a lot of other conventions. So even if you can't get into the convention itself, and some of these things are crazy lotteries, you can show up and do these events that people like us are putting on. So definitely worth doing. And so next year we'll be looking in Emerald City Comic Con. It's not terribly far from me, a short flight up north.
So let me ask you this then, Mr. Marshall.
Sure.
Do we want to do FanX here in Salt Lake City, the old Salt Lake City Comic Con, until the lawsuit happened?
Sure. I don't know when that is or what that entails, but I'm down for any con, man.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's in August, so I'll have to double check. I'll head that one up. I know between June and July, I'm booked every weekend, I feel like, so.
Yeah. August is tough only in that that's usually when my school starts. And gotcha. I have a thing I do the first week of August. And there's actually a writer's convention, which I haven't mentioned, that's happening in early August here that I never go to because it's not very centered around genre fiction. So I have a friend who reached out to me about that, and I will have more information in the coming weeks for sure.
Perfect. Sounds like
lots going on, man.
A good little time.
All right, dude. And that could actually get you out here to to the coast, man.
Hey. So actually right now in my own personal life, I'm applying to a couple of low residency master's in fine arts for creative writing right now. My goal is to get one out in Oregon because it's only like 7 hours away from you on my way back down to Utah. So, I mean, my trip home to Utah is going to take like 15 hours with a detour to you, but it's well worth it. You ride it there on the coast. You get to hang out a little bit. So,
it's worth it.
It's always worth it, right?
Exactly. One last shout out. And I forgot this earlier, but in addition to the Discord, thanks to everybody else who's reached out to me via Facebook and stuff like that. I've had a couple of former students reach out and say how much they like the show and what we're doing. So I just want to thank them for tuning in for sure, because some of these students I haven't taught in, 9 years or so, 8 years. And it's really nice to hear people kind of reach back and say, hey, how you doing? And thank you for doing what you do. And we're listening. So that means a lot. So shout out to them for sure. So thank you. All right, dude. So let's get into it. What are we talking about this week?
Oh, man. Well, obviously this month we're talking about dialogue. So today we've mentioned this a few times, character distinction with dialogue. What the hell does that mean? And how do you do it? Marshall, what are we talking about over here?
It's hard, man. It's so essentially what we're talking about is if you are reading a text or listening to an audiobook or whatever that might be, when you get to a dialogue section, if those dialogue tags were not there, how as an author do you get across distinct voice from character to character? We talked with Maurice about how difficult it is to write how people actually speak. Mm-hmm. So how do you make that distinction in your writing? And obviously a lot of this, I imagine, will have to come in revision. You want to make sure, with your beta readers and stuff like that, that the voices of the characters are coming across. But how do you do that? What do you set forward to accomplish when you write dialogue for a character? So that's kind of what we're going to touch on a little bit this week. And we'll probably have to come back to it next week after we get some feedback from our listeners for sure. But let's talk about a couple of things. What are you thinking, buddy?
Well, I'm thinking let's start with people who are doing it well that we've read.
Yeah.
Of course, both of us are on a John Scalzi kick. I'll actually skip that one this week for myself. And I'm gonna bring up Brandon Sanderson. Two series of his Stormlight Archives and the Mistborn series, specifically Wayne and Wax. He does this really good way. If you read the Mistborn series with Wayne, you know when Wayne's talking because he's a little bit more sarcastic in everything he does. Mm-hmm. And same with the Stormlight Archives. There's a certain region and they talk a very specific way. The Audible book makes it sound like they're Australian to me. I could be wrong. I could be crazy. But for Stormlight Archives, there's a character that always says the word Gancho. Almost, not in every sentence, but every time he talks, it's
like how we speak. It's like, what's up, man? How you doing? And that's how he uses it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's usually at the end of the sentence. So like, that's one way to make a character stink is having a set pattern of words that they use constantly based on maybe where they're from or how they were raised or stuff, something like that.
Right. And just to continue that, I mean, obviously, a lot of literary legends have toyed with this. Obviously, when you get into dialect and stuff like that.
Yes.
And you really are trying to write how people talk, Mark Twain and stuff like that. But, I mean, how do you do it in the modern age without doing that? You know what I mean? Having a little character quirk or a saying or a phrase, or I guess in fantasy, a lot of times, and I've caught myself doing this a little bit. The easiest way that people do it usually is there's a certain character that doesn't use contractions, right? And in fantasy, like there are certain races that don't use contractions, you take something like that and make it so anytime a character from that race is talking, all right, well, he said did not instead of didn't. So I know that it's that,
totally. That, I mean, it's the day old, like, if they're dwarves,
that's become a bit of a cliche now.
Well,
of course,
if they're dwarven, they talk like they're Scottish. Like, and
that's the classic Tolkien deal.
Yeah. And that's one thing. Like, I want to see something different than that. Like, and it shout out to John Rhys Davies from Lord of the Rings, who plays Gimli. I don't feel like he had a very thick Scottish Welsh accent there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I did appreciate that, even though Tolkien's books are a little bit different.
But when you're writing fantasy, I mean, how do you, it's really, I feel like you have more of a freedom in fantasy and science fiction and genre fiction, really, across the board. If you're creating a race or species, how do you make that distinct from the quote unquote humans in your world, right? They may not be humans, but you know, if you take a science fiction property from a video game, right, the humans maybe aren't called humans, but in, you know, what is it, Skyrim or whatever they're called?
Bretons, Nords.
Yeah, there's several different sections of quote unquote humans, right? But what makes them all distinct, right? I don't know any rule of thumb to go along with this. I know there's some cliches out there. Obviously, the contraction thing is a cliche,
right?
But you know when it's happening. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going back to what we were talking about last week, world building through dialogue, part of building your world is a distinction between the races in your world to make everybody feel like they have a place.
Right. Right. And then you also have to avoid, too, on the same matter of like when you're using dialect to distinguish a character, stereotypes. Like, don't, Writing Excuses did a great episode on this one, is stereotypes. Like, don't do. Mm-hmm. Your basic stereotype of writing an entire culture of people based on the very, very stereotypical Jewish person who hoards all his money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because right. That's not accurate, for one. And two, it's a very hurtful stereotype.
Exactly. And this is where, obviously, you know, if you're feeling like this is where you're at, have someone read it. Have somebody say, hey, you know, I wrote this character. Does this come off, you know, and let them read it. And then when they're done, say, oh, wait, what do you think of this character? And if they say, well, it sounds like somebody who's from X region or this race, and they tell you why, it's like, okay, is that a stereotype that I've embraced? And how do I change that? And I don't think stereotypes obviously are not the way to make your characters distinct. And it's about voice. So I
think you hit it on point with dialect. Dialect is definitely a go-to for a lot of people, but let's think about it, though. When you read a book, you're not, it's not like listening to a podcast where all you have is someone's voice, and that is what you're basing off everything off of. You're imagining this world. So as a writer, like, we need to think about what actions the person's taking. What if someone has just like a tick, you know, like where they always snap a finger every so often? And and it's just something they can't control. They don't realize they're doing it, and it annoys someone else.
And that goes back to the character quirks. Rather than leaning on the dialect, coming back to a character quirk or something that makes that voice distinct. Because I know for a fact, after I was trying to teach books with heavy dialect, kids will turn off. They have a hard time reading
them
because they don't understand what the author's trying to do, because that's not what they're used to reading. You know what I mean? And it's very foreign.
And let's go back to what Maurice said when he made a character that likes to use the F word. He, you know, you can only use it per 12 sentences the character says. I feel like the same thing can be applied for dialect. I'm not going to write an entire thing in dialect for a character who's going to have multiple speaking parts. Maybe if there's like a little bit of banter between one character and some random person that has a thick dialect accent and they're just hard to understand, I'm going to include all the dialect I can so I can make the reader feel challenged, because then you know, understand that the main character who talked to that person is also having that same challenge.
And also make it part of the world, make it part of the story.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
And I think that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, well, I'm having a hard time understanding this character's having a hard time understanding this person. And it's because they come from here and they come from there. And that should be part of the world building and the story itself, rather than I'm just really want to make sure you understand who's talking here, so I'm just gonna keep doing this thing.
Yeah.
And is it serving the story? If it's not, do you need it? And can you make the distinction a different way?
Yeah. Right. And then one of the things that I personally like doing is, it's kind of a reflection of the Mistborn series with Brandon Sanderson and the playoff Wayne and Wax. Like, my main character is, he's not a funny character naturally. He's a very like, hey, like, this is what I got to go and do. Like, I'm going to go and do this. He's still a fun character. Like, he still knows how to go out and have fun. But his current partner is just 100% comical. He's not a serious right. bone in his body. He's got a gun to his head, and he's cracking jokes about how the barrel's dirty and it's not going to fire right. You know, like, right. It's a play off PTSD, and this is how he deals with life, is through humor. And so I have that character distinction that, you know, when someone says something, you know who it is right away, just because of what yeah. they're saying in every single scenario.
Right. Another way, I don't know, I've kind of approached this a little bit in my current work in progress that I'm messing with, is there's a character who's a bit of an antagonist, not fully an antagonist, but when he first enters the story, to my main character. And when my main character encounters this character, basically what it comes down to is this guy's drunk every time. And this has to do with where I'm pulling some of the source material, because it's a play on Beowulf. And there's this whole deal where Beowulf encounters this guy named Unferth, right? And he's boastful. He's like, oh, you're not everything you say you can be. And he's saying this because he's drunk and he's confrontational, right? Really what it comes down to is I feel like I'm making the voice distinct, not because I'm slurring and showing that there's slurs, but he's cutting off my main character a lot and speaking very loudly and that kind of thing, and kind of throwing his weight around the room a little bit. And I like to think that anytime he's talking, it's very obvious whether I say it's him talking or not. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's partially actions and the character you've created too, and how he interacts with your main character or the POV character in this case.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I think kind of sounds like you're mixing all of it in together and making that character distinct, which is great.
Yeah, we'll see if I pull it off.
And that is the beauty about all of this. We're trying just as hard as everyone else who's listening.
If we're pulling it off, let us know if you ever read what we're talking about.
And another point too is I need to publish some homework so you guys can see that I've been doing it as well.
Yeah.
So I need to write some dialogue and magic building with dialogue still. I need to post some homework so you guys can see what we're talking about and what we're doing and if it even works, because we're just as experienced or less experienced than most of you.
But the fact is, and I'm realizing through the course of this show, and maybe it's the emotional state I'm in, but I'm feeling like this to me is invaluable. This conversation with you, and I'm hoping it's helping the people listening. In fact, in the fact that we're having this conversation and it's bringing my awareness to what I'm working on. And so when I go back to work on that thing, I have this cliche, I have this dialogue around what I'm trying to accomplish, and I'm bringing an awareness to it. So hopefully, you know, of course I'm going to hit it in revision, but hopefully as I'm drafting, I will also bring this, oh, that's right, we've talked about this, I understand what I'm trying to do here, and bringing some consciousness to it rather than just pantsing, throwing words on the page and hoping it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. So I, over the weekend too, I had a writing group over here at my house, and that's kind of one of the things we talked about is like, so I'm very young in writing and in my career and what I've written, like I'm unpublished, like I haven't even finished.
You're also very young.
I mean, I guess 31's young.
It's young to me, man. I'm about to turn 40.
Hey,
come on now.
Hey, remember Maurice, first published at 40.
I know. My inspiration.
Hey, right.
It's not too late.
Great man.
I just had to throw that out there.
No, I love it. I love it. One of the things that's been helping me is critiquing, reading other people's work and not just reading it as a writer. Right. And I think that's really helped out because I can find things that I do and I don't like about other people's work. But now it's helping me like do things on purpose. I got some feedback a couple weeks ago about a short story I'm working on. And one of the main things I was told was, hey, you see this, this, and this? You need to remember it and start doing it on purpose. And you're like, what? Like, how do you know it wasn't on purpose? It's like, it's nowhere else there. But it was a great feature.
Oh, they know it's not on purpose.
You know, and it's just like, oh man, okay. So now like I'm starting to become more self-conscious of some of these techniques and stuff like that. And like I said before, like I feel like I'm really strong in dialogue. And I haven't really gotten a negative feedback in dialogue. Keep in mind, I'm currently not published in a novel, don't have any short stories published, and I've only been doing this for like 2 years. So, If you guys want to read some of my stuff, give me a shout out in our Discord under Seeking Help and just at me and be like, yo, send me something. Let me read it and I'll give you a bad review. So, and I'll send it to you.
Look, I've known I wanted to write for a long time. I've never been consistent with it until in the last, you know, couple years or so. But for me, it's something that I've always wanted to do, but I've just always been, like we said, I have a life and I'm doing all these things. And how do I make time for this thing I always wanted to do, right? Should I not have four jobs? Probably. But here we
are. Can you list all four?
Right now, I am a podcaster, a golf coach, a full-time teacher, and I work part-time at a pizza pub, bartending and waiting tables.
Keep in mind, you have two different podcast shows, so I'm counting that as five jobs.
That's five jobs, indeed.
And if you throw a writer on top of that.
Not to mention writing and being a father and a husband. I mean, look, the bottom line is I'm really, really trying. And I haven't done well in the last week and a half in making the time. And I plan to rectify that very, very quickly. I wrote last night and it felt good. And it was right. And I needed to. And it was a dialogue heavy section, which made sense, you know? Right. So I sympathize with you. And at the same time, we all are doing what we can. And the idea is that I just want to keep putting words on the page and trying to get better. And I think this conversation helps.
So. You mean you just want to just keep writing?
Dude, you said the name of the show.
What? We did it. Yay. We did it. On our own show.
So we can quit now, right? I'm just kidding.
If I get $1 million, yeah.
That's all it takes.
Hey, someone's bound to pay me for being funny.
I'll give you a brownie point.
Yes.
Just a big thumbs up.
You know, no. I'm redeeming that brownie point for an actual brownie when I see you.
Oh, dude, I'll make you brownies.
Who wants to go to Fort Bragg, California with me right now?
Everybody does because it's beautiful here right now. So let's start moving our way out of here. I think that's pretty good for this week, don't you?
Yeah, no, I actually really enjoyed this conversation because I feel that as I talk about my writing and what I'm doing, like, hey, like I need to go back and double check everything now and make sure I do have that distinction so that it's not just in my head because that gets me.
And you're right, man. We have our characters in our head and we have the characters we want to write, but is their voice coming through on the page? And that's something that in revision and having somebody read it will hopefully help make that true. But again, there's always the character quirks. Don't lean on stereotypes and all the things we've said in the show. But yeah, I mean, we want to make sure that when there's a dialogue section, if you took the tags out, do you know who's talking, right? Is there intention there? Is their goal in the story realized through what they're saying? Does that make sense? So, yeah. You know, you know a character's intention. Is that coming through in their words or is it just a random conversation?
To me, it's the same as like when you're world building too, like I always forget to add stuff in there because I know it. Right. And so like beta readers help me out a lot because it's like, hey, I didn't quite understand this or I was confused by this. And then you're like, oh, this is because of this. And they're like, you should probably put that in there. And you're like,
yeah, you didn't tell us.
I knew that. I knew that. I was testing you.
How well do you know my world, right?
Seeing if you're actually paying attention. You're a good beta reader. Thank you.
This is a test the whole time.
Writer's task for the week. And this week, something simple. Okay, we've done a couple heavy ones with writing and like redoing some stuff. Let's keep it simple. Read your favorite book or keep reading the book that you are reading, but just note dialogue and note the character distinctions. What do you notice about the characters that you're currently reading in and how do you know it's who's who talking or how do you know who's not talking?
Good. I like it.
I love it.
This has been Just Keep Writing, a podcast for writers by writers to keep you writing. I am at Darth Pops on Twitter and Nick is at Bright Inks. You can find this show on iTunes and your favorite podcatchers. So like and share this show with your writing community. If you'd like to share or discuss anything we talked on the show, the last week's task or whatever you have going on, you can post it on our Discord channel, Facebook page, or send it to me. I am Marshall at MarshallCarr.com or Nick at NicholasBright at BrightInks.org. You can find our writing and the show notes for each episode on our websites, MarshallCarr.com and BrightInks.org. Lastly, if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is Patreon.com/JustKeepWriting. And you can find us there and give us a couple bucks an episode and help us do what we do, and we can help you.
You've got the homework done. You have a challenge up ahead of you. Now just keep writing.